May the Lord help us this afternoon to meditate a little upon a word you will find in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, in the latter part of verse 13. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 13, we will read. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Seldom I have two texts on a Sunday, that is, in one cause, that these words seem to rest somewhat upon my spirit this afternoon. I feel I cannot turn from them. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. As you know, we meditated a little this morning in the Gospel of John, of Mary and of Martha and their dear beloved brother. And we do not hesitate to say that they endured unto the end in all their trials, afflictions and troubles and many dark clouds and bereavements and so on. And they saved. They were saved. They are saved. They're numbered among the Lord's people, now in glory. That we are still upon the earth and we are still in our pilgrimage, journeying along, desiring that we might endure unto the end and be saved. But he that shall endure. Well, dear friends, we come here as we commence this, to say a few things upon the text. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus enduring, well, we should never endure. If he had not come into this lower world and performed the wonderful work of salvation, we should never be saved. So, every blessing in the things of grace, also in the things of providence, flow down through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the former part of our text, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Well, we may know a little of this persecution, but nothing compared the pathway of persecution the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure. But he endured unto the end. Blessed be his holy name. Now he was persecuted, and the awful things that many unbelievers acted and treated him in way of persecution. We little know what he passed through. Though the poet has said, and we've often repeated it, often thought of it, what he endured no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and from hell. That dear man, the Lord Jesus, was hated of men, and so he is today. Many have blasphemed his name. Away with him, away with him. Many have in every way disbelieved even the scripture and even the very voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the world today amongst the unbelievers, but there's a people said, spoken of in the text, and he shall endure. But again, it's only through the loving kindness and the mercy of an almighty God if we endure unto the end. Jesus did, but as I've said, what he passed through during his life, in his pilgrimage. Holy, a holy man. Holy in every way. No sin. Nothing in him that was of a sinful nature. Never did he speak words of sin, acted. Never did he walk in paths of sin. Nothing the kind. But he was hated of all men. That is, those that are unbelievers in the truth of the gospel. But he endured. We read in the psalm that his mercy endureth forever. And that's how it is. This latter part of this verse is included in the chapter. If it wasn't for him, there'd be no enduring with his people. In Jesus, he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. His mercy, his compassion, his love, his life endured unto the end. If we might so speak, that his life endured unto the cross. There he gave his life, but this dear man still lives. As Job tells us, we know, or he know, that his Redeemer liveth. So the Lord Jesus still lives on high in heaven to bring his dear people along and give them all that is necessary that they should endure unto the shall be saved in him and him alone. If we were left to ourselves, should we endure? If we are left to ourselves, dear friends, I'm sure we should be in the world and of it. But the Lord holds his dear ones in his hands of his love. And there's no returning into the world. There may be at times this worldly spirit in us, yes, often, but we shall not return into that broad way that leadeth to destruction where each of us were previously. If we receive that call we mentioned this morning, that heavenly call, and being brought out of the broad way into the narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal, we shall never go back. Once he loves, he never leaves, but loves thee to the end. There will be a continuing, though at times you may be very down, very cast down, and tempted of that evil one, which will tell you, you'll go back into the world. But no. No. We've spoken sometimes of the broad way. And when a child of God are moving in that direction, but the time comes for the new birth, there's a barrier. Thus far shalt thou go and no further. It's similar in the other direction, dear friends. If we be brought out of that broad way, there's a barrier. We cannot return to it. As I've quoted, once he loves, he'll never leave, but love you to the end. Few things that these people will have to endure journeying along. For the Lord, as you know, as by his prophet, so by the prophet, the apostle Paul, he has given us the warning. It is through much tribulation, but ye shall endure to the end. It's much, through much tribulation, ye must enter the kingdom. So we could put all the praise here on our God in his strength and in his love, to bring his dear people along, that they should endure to the end. What will be the casting down, or if possible, the devil would remove us from this narrow way that leadeth unto life, but it's beyond his power. He cannot. What a mercy we are beyond the power of Satan, and in the power of God, or in his love and in his mercy. Well, these people are brought to know that they are sinners and feel the burden of sin. Many know that they are sinners. The word of God is very clear. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Many confess that they are sinners. No doubt many today would say miserable sinners, but what do they know the truth of it? That's just the word, the saying. But the truth of it is this, we are all sinners, terrible sinners. And how are we brought to know that? Not by just reading of the scripture, that opens up our understanding to a certain extent, but when the Holy Spirit opens up our hearts. And we have to say that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And when we are shown a little of what we are by nature, we have to say to ourselves, I shall never endure unto the end. I'm vile, I'm corrupt, I defile throughout by sin. But the word tells us, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And these are the people that know their sin and mourn over their sin. And they are the people that will endure by the grace of God, not of the creature. Job, he said, I am vile, but he endured unto the end. And what did he say on one occasion at least that we have left on record? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that dear man endured to the end, but was only by the grace of God. He had many things stripped from him, even his own family, sons and daughters, but he endured unto the end and was saved. So we must give all the praise and all the honor unto God, who brings us, as it were, to an understanding of our lost condition, sinful heart, sinful nature, carnal, and yet these poor sinners, by the grace of God, they shall endure unto the end. And these people are asking the Lord as they journey along that they might be prepared for that prepared place. And then often that prayer is answered in bringing us into difficulty. That is within the soul. Sometimes in hiding his face, we who know a little of his countenance and felt a little of the warmth of the Sun of Righteousness, and then is withdrawing, and the poor soul says, well, I shan't endure it unto the end. Now he's going to cut me off. He has smiled upon me. He has touched my heart with a little of his mercy. But now everything is dark. All my evidences seem to be gone. Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast. And the poor sinner says, I shall never endure unto the end. Well, it's just the people that will. He empties us. He brings us, takes us low. He hides his face. We don't seem to have any evidences of work of grace in the heart. It is so with me at times. Can God dwell here in this wretched heart of mine? Such is their feelings. Such is the answer to the prayer that we often pray, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And our knowledge of him seems to fade away. We seem to know nothing, only that we are poor and wretched sinners under the sore temptations of the evil one, the devil that goeth about like a roaring lion and ready to devour. But these are the people that will be saved. These are the people that will endure unto the end, but by the grace of God. You see, dear friends, the Lord empties his dear people. He'll bring them down and down, and these dear people realize they've got nothing. Nothing. Nothing acceptable. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. But it's these people that feel to be so vile and empty and barren and fruitless will win the prize. Why, we are told by the Apostle Paul, already by the Lord, to run with patience the race is set before us, looking unto Jesus, and that's the secret of it all. Looking unto Jesus, keep our eyes fixed upon him, and they shall endure unto the end. In this very chapter, the Lord informs us a little of what has taken place and what yet will take place. Now, even unto the end, and he gives us this word, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. And how these things sometimes are watched, to see how the Lord will bring them about. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect, from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Well, these people, spoken of in their text this afternoon, they shall endure unto the end. But it's going to be a thorny path, a rough path. It's going to be a dark path often. And sometimes you won't find an evidence, as it were, of grace in your heart. For the Lord empties us so, and brings us and lays us low into dust, that we feel we've got nothing, nothing. But here's the promise of God. May I say to such, any present here this afternoon, in that experience, that the Lord will yet strengthen your hope and raise you up again to a good hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But for the most part, you'll be down. And as to that he will gather, if we are able to do something for ourselves and to walk closer to him and pray more earnestly unto him, well, we shall be taking the praise that is due to him to ourselves, and the Lord will not allow that. He is the one to be worthy of praise. He is the one, the only one, is worthy of all praise in the matters of salvation and other ways too. But he that shall endure. Have I a poor sinner here this afternoon, struggling along, day by day, proving it to be nothing but a wilderness, cast down, many stumbling blocks, much in the dark, can't find what you would desire to find, even in the Word of God. In the furnace, having those things that are God-dishonoring to be destroyed, burnt up in the furnace of God, praying that we might know him and know more of him, and look more like him, and to follow close after him, and to love him more. And the Lord sometimes seems to strip us of everything. And there we are, laying in the dust, and feeling we shall never take another step toward heaven. But the promise is this, he that shall endure, by the grace of God, unto the end. Unto the end of the affliction. We may look at it from that viewpoint. Or as long as we're kept in the furnace, of God's furnace, to destroy and to subdue the old nature, the carnal nature. But the time when there is in the heart, yea, the heart is brought to believe the word of our text, and he that shall endure. He that shall endure in the furnace, or by the temptations of the evil one. How thankful we ought to be that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came up out of the water and entered into the wilderness those 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by Satan, but he endured, blessed be his holy name. And therefore, he can in these days, and has down through the ages, been enabled to succor those that are tempted. He has walked the same path. He has endured it. So, he that shall endure the temptations, the furnace, the darkness, the hidings of God's face, the trials of the way, the afflictions in the body, afflictions in the soul, things in providence, everything seems to be against us, but he that shall endure. You see, dear friends, he keeps us low. He will not have pride, as it were, as an abomination unto the Lord, and how quickly it rises within our heart. The Lord hates sin, he hates pride. But he that shall endure unto the end, the Lord lays us low, makes us feel it, brings us in those places. We have to cry unto him. Well, it is in these experiences that we have to cry. We turn to him. Take the prophet of old, when he received the message, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What did he do? He turned his face to the wall and wept and cried. He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now these are the people I mentioned a little of the way the pilgrims have to go. In these parts here below, and in these various experiences in providence and in grace. But there's the other side of it. The Lord has said they shall. Now the Lord strengthens his dear people. I believe in the prophecy of Ezekiel, in the prophecy of Isaiah, we read something like this. That the Lord strengthens is they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall receive strength. And so it is here. These people waiting upon the Lord, they will receive strength to endure unto the end. So there's first the casting down, and then there's the lifting up. We find that in the all of the gospel. There are times when we are laid low, days of adversity, then comes the days of rejoicing, days of darkness, days of light. And so we are brought along by the blessing of God, and we shall endure unto the end. What a mercy. What would it be if we did not? Well, we should sink into that place we mentioned a little of this morning, into that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But the Lord will help us, give us a little help here and a little help there. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall support you. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are the blessings spoken to these dear people when often in these dark places, and when he hides his face. When we feel the afflictions and trials, then the Lord opens his lips and gives us a word of encouragement to still press on, believing that we shall endure unto the end. path of darkness, then there's a little light springing up. And as a little hope springs up in our poor hearts. Yes, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Poor Jonah, why, he was in the belly of hell. Weeds around him. What hope of him? Seemed impossible. Yes, are you at times in that place? You feel everything that is spiritual is far from your reach, same as Jonah. But even in the depth, the Lord brought him forth. Oh, how God moves the mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. He fearful saints fresh skellies take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on thine head. Jonah, in the depth, the bottom of the mountains. Some of us may have been somewhat on the top, but literally, Jonah was at the bottom. A place where we've never been. We may feel to be there at times, at the bottom of the mountains. But the Lord brought him forth. But he that shall endure. What endured in Jonah when he was at the bottom of the mountains? I believe faith was one of the things that endured. Yes, and hope, yes, that endured in his heart. There was still life in his soul. There's still life in his body. Once there's life, there's hopes. And how wonderfully the Lord delivered him from the whale. Vomited him up onto dry ground. He that shall endure unto the end. And then the Lord gave him a message. And he had to take it. He was truly a messenger in the Lord's message unto Nineveh. To go and to preach unto them and told them the condition that they were in and how they bowed before their God and confessed their sins and sat in sackcloth and ashes. Didn't the Lord appear for that? He did. Did he not bless the message that Jonah took? He did. My word shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and whereunto I send it. But he that shall endure, so Jonah came back and preached the gospel. How many we have left on record of the casting down and brought low, yet the Lord has raised them up. But he that shall endure, unto the end. That's the end of our life here. I know it's often I feel I shall never endure. Not in the ministry. I'm trying to speak in his name. But the Lord has said they shall be saved. They shall be saved. The same shall be saved. There's more than one viewpoint we might look upon these last words of our text. The same shall be saved. They're saved whilst they're travelling through the wilderness by God's blessing from being brought to despair. They're saved sometimes from, as we've mentioned, the temptations of the evil one. They're saved sometimes from their evil thoughts and desires. Sometimes they're delivered and saved from their fears. And especially if the Lord should speak of fear not within the soul. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These dear people, when they receive a little comfort from heaven, a word from the lips of the Lord, well, then they will believe that they shall endure unto the end and be saved. Yea, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Those words that he spake to his servant Jeremiah when he was young in years. But he tried. He was a faith that was being tried. There's a time when he came, he was lowered into the dungeon. What hope had he? Completely helpless in and of himself. Oh, he says, I shall not be saved. Here I am, no doubt, he thought, I'm come to the end. But he that shall endure, the Lord can bring forth his dear people out of dungeons, out of darkness, and set them, as it were, upon his feet, yea, and upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and strengthens the hope within. These poor souls will endure unto the end. And as I said at the commencement, it's because Christ himself endures. Yes, no change in him, dear friend. No change in his mercy, no change in his love. And we can come here. There's no change, as it were, in the gifts that he has given unto us. In James' epistle, we read of the good gifts and the perfect gifts. Now, once we are born of God, these are the gifts from heaven. What are they? Spiritual life. Will the spiritual life endure? It will. It will. Once he is implanted a spark of divine grace, that will endure unto the end. Faith. You say, I seem to have so little, but a little that a righteous man hath, the Lord will not despise. It's his gift. A perfect gift, spiritual life, faith within the soul, and hope. My hope is built, I've mentioned it today, on nothing less. For these are the people that will endure. They have a firm standing for life and for eternity. And then again, love. Now you say you are coming on the ground that I know so little of. Is it so? We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Dear friends, if there's a little less love in our hearts toward the Lord Jesus, there will be unto his people. And that love will endure unto the end. You may fear it will not. With all what the Lord may bring upon us in the way of afflictions, trials, and lay us low and in darkness, but there still be moving, a movement in your heart toward him in love. That will endure unto the end. Your fear will be this, as he casts me off. As he casts me, I deserve to be cast off, but no, his love is the same. Change is not. Oh, these wonderful gifts that the Lord gives to his dear people, spoken of, as I said, in the Epistle of James. Spiritual life. Spiritual love. A hope. A good hope through grace. His mercy. Oh, what else? His blood. His blood. Has that endured? It will. To the end of time. To the last poor sinner born into this world to be saved with an everlasting salvation. And brought to feel his or her need of the fountain. That fountain will still be open for the last poor sinner, called by divine grace before the end of the world. The blood of Jesus Christ, I speak with all reverence. Is it possible, friends, for one of the Lord's, whom he has loved from all eternity, to be born into this world without being cleansed before he enters into eternal glory? Impossible. For there is nothing will enter heaven that is defiled. Nothing at all. Nothing can cleanse a soul but the blood of Christ. Jesus' own precious blood. So, these people, every one of them, and we may name some of them, not only Apostle Paul, who previously lived in the spirit of the Pharisee, or the publican who was bowed down with the burden of sin, or the poor man up in the sycamore tree, called by the Lord to come down, for it is a day of salvation, or the poor woman by the well, dead in sin, yet quickened into life, and had a desire for living waters, they should endure unto the end. Dear Abraham, he did. Oh, that great faith that was given to Abraham. That wonderful faith. And the promise. For the Lord gave him a promise respecting Isaac. And though that promise was tried, as you know, the Lord brought him to that place and said to Abraham, take thy son, thine only begotten son, up upon the Mount Moriah, and offer him up for the sacrifice. His faith was tried, but we read, actually, God tempted him, tried him, his faith. Did it move? Did it waver? No. Strong was the faith of Abraham. Strong, even to the last moment, as it were, of the life of his son. He lifted the knife to slay his son Isaac. Oh, that faith endured into his heart, Abraham. And I believe it did to Isaac as well. Though I know Isaac asked his father, on the way up to the mount, where's the ram? Where's the burnt offering? Oh, the faith given. Dear friend, we stand in faith, do we not? Believing in faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he that shall endure unto the end, Abraham did. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for he gave his dear servant Abraham faith to believe that his son, yea, from that rising generation, there would be a seed to serve him. And now the Lord wonderfully appeared in the last moment, as it were, of Isaac's life. Lifted his hand to slay his son by the voice from heaven. Lay not thine hand upon the land. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This little word, often in the text, here and there, through the scriptures, and we don't like to pass it over, because I believe there's something spoken of to the honor and glory of God. The same shall. God shells. Oh, friends, it's times when we build our hope upon those shells, because it's his promises. They shall. Whatever they pass through in the storms of life, but they shall be saved. My mind goes to those disciples on the water, on the sea, when the storm arose. Easily, naturally speaking, they could have been drowned, but no, they shall endure unto the end. God was there. On one occasion, God was in the boat. Dear friends, is the Lord in your affliction? Is he in your trial? Whatever you are passing through, Is he in it? If so, you will endure unto the end, and he will see it. As poor Peter on one occasion, he was fearful. He saw a spirit, and he was very cast down. But eventually Jesus spake. Peter heard his voice. It is the Lord. Same with the high priest Eli, when Samuel delivered the message that the Lord had given him. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. So it was with Peter. Peter says, ask if he could walk on the sea. And the Lord said, yes. Yes. Come, Peter. Come. Dear friends, in every storm, if we can only keep our eyes on Christ, we shall be able to walk on the sea. We can walk on our troubles. We can walk on our afflictions. When we have our eyes upon the Lord, take them off. What will happen? You'll soon begin to sink. And then the fears come. Then the inward trembling comes. You'll soon begin to sink. But as we read in that particular case, Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him. We read, he stretched it forth immediately. Oh, that love. Immediately. He wouldn't let Peter sink and be drowned. No. No. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And that's the salvation of the Lord Jesus, and be saved throughout a never-ending eternity from the wrath of God and from all your sins, and be delivered from the body of sin and death, as the apostle said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Dear friends, I've rambled round this afternoon these words. I feel I must leave it with you. I'll give you this word. You will endure unto the end. If you are among the Lord's people, called by divine grace, you will endure unto the end. And you will be saved with an everlasting.